This morning, before I share the message, I just let you know again, you know, if you want to know about the ministry of Celebrate Messiah, I've got a little book table there. It's got our newsletters on it. Please help yourself to a newsletter. And, you know, we've got all different books on there which are for sale. One of it is called Christ in the Feast of Pentecost, which I'm going to speak about this morning. So it just gives you... the Word of God, I love it, you know, because we speak it to each other all the time, and when that happens, something unique happens. It's, you know, we're often hearing of batteries today that we're turning from coal power to, you know, to batteries, whatever it is, but it needs to be charged all the time, right? Yeah. Who's the one that charges us? In our inner man. I believe it's the Lord. I believe the Holy Spirit does that through, as we share with each other, the wonderful, wonderful mercy of God in His Word. You're not alone. You're not alone. And this morning, as Elise and Joshua and all of us speak to each other, God is doing something in that battery to charge it so that you can give it away again. So I love that. And that's, you know, just have a look at the table when you can. The ministry of Celebrate Messiah is more busy now than ever before. So we got a lot going on. The first song that Joshua played, yeah. Am I saying Joshua? Yes, I am saying Joshua, yes. How great is God. Our God. You know, I took a tour group to Israel just before the pandemic hit. We were in Israel in November 2019. That song we sang in the upper room in the old city. There was the upper room is a little, it's bigger than this room, and when we got in there, there's people literally from all over the world that come there. And we went into a little corner and wanted to have a time with the Lord, just as our little group from Australia. And in the midst of that, we broke out in song in unison. Just, it was the Lord, and sang that song. How great is our God. As we sing in the song, we're hearing voices singing, but we know it's not the same language they're singing. Literally every person in that room were singing in their own language, the same song. It was the most unique experience. It was a God-given moment. In the city of Jerusalem, in a very beautiful way. Actually, what happened was that one of the caretakers of the building, whatever, because right downstairs there was a synagogue. can you picture this right now? I mean, everybody's going off singing this beautiful, this worship and praise song to God. He comes in and he stands next to me and says, "You can't do this." And everybody looks at him and keeps singing. You say, out, go, out, out. But there was a purpose in that. There was a real purpose in that. And the people that were on tour was a little over 50 folk. Didn't come back the same. Yeah. They knew God was great because He had done something in them. Would you start on that that first slide? Thank you so much. Sister, I appreciate that. You know, I always ask for prayer for Israel, and it's a important part of our, I think, our duty as Christians, as believers in the Lord, is to pray for Israel. From the forefathers, they gave their lives for the very Word of God that you hold in your hands. And the least we can do is pray for Israel right now. I mean, along with Sri Lanka, you know, there are so many nations that are failing right now. It's incredible. We don't know what's going to happen in the future, right? You know, I mean, look at Lebanon. It's worthless. There's so many other nations in the same boat right now. Yet the turmoil that's happening here in, and this is just, of course, Melbourne, but in the land of Israel, it's a very tiny strip of land. It's a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. It's not a fighting between, people. God promised the nation of Israel that they would be caretakers of the land. They didn't own it. They don't own the land. Jewish people don't own the land of Israel, but they are to be caretakers, and He's made them caretakers forever. Not for a day, not for 1,000 years, not for 2,000, forever. And when they're caretakers of the land, the blessing follows. It's absolutely incredible. But I'll touch on a little bit of that this morning. But please pray for Israel. There's a lot going on there right now where the increasing violence is really ramping up. And again, that tells me that there's a spiritual side to it. The enemy is really shaking in his boots and wants to destroy anything that God has done. But of course, we know that the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's, and He has already granted us the victory. However, we have a part to play, and that is to pray. That's the least we can do. We can pray for each other, right? Please pray for Israel, pray for the Jewish people here in Australia, here in our own city of Melbourne. We are desiring that they come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And of course, it does happen on various levels. I showed Elise a little short video clip this morning. And of course, thank God for Neil and for Robin. Robin used to make, and still does, makes handmade cards. Because with those handmade cards, we send out food into the Jewish community. There's quite a few people in the Jewish community who are doing it really tough. And when they get the cards, I showed the response to Elise from just one of the Jewish grandmothers. And, you know, literally with all her heart, she says, "Thank you so much. We love the food, but the cards, they're amazing." It's a personal thing. God is, you know, God touches us in a very specific way. You know, I know that you know this, but I just mentioned it again to you this morning. The little thing that you do, you see how God will multiply it in such a wonderful, wonderful way. And along those lines, thank you, Co-Pilot. Can we go to the next? there we go. The next slide this morning. So we're going to speak about. We're going to learn together. We'll learn together this morning about the feast of Shavuot, and you know it better as. I'm going to say, Elise, hang on now. I'm going to ask everybody else. Now, you're right, Elise, but it is Pentecost. It is Pentecost. And what a wonderful story that is, isn't it? So I'm not going to waste, you know, all of my muscles here. We all are going to talk together this morning. Can we read together? Are you good with that? Okay. So at the end of three, we will start. One, two, three.
And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaves of the wave offering. 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves. They shall be white with leaven. They are the first fruits of the Lord. And you shall offer with bread 7 lambs Then you shall sacrifice one kidney of goats as a sin offering, and two male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. The priest shall weigh them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with two lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord, the priest. And you shall proclaim the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout our generations. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not only reap the corners of the field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleanings from your harvest. You shall leave them for the Lord and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God.
Oh, thank you, people. Hang on with that one, sister. We'll go back to the first one first. Leave it on that on the thing, please. We'll come to there. When last have you read from the book of Leviticus? That is I'm not sure, but it could have been a little while ago. Okay, Leviticus 23. When I read and when we see this scripture, for me it gives a myriad of color. It just brings God into our situation in such a powerful way. This part of what we're looking at here today, this morning, with all the things that are going around us presently, it's very, very beautiful, and it brings a lot of people into it as well. This is a very, very, very powerful scripture, Leviticus. But I want us just to have a look at some of the names of this feast this morning, that we call it in Jewish life. Thank you, co-pilot. Next one. Yeah. Next one. Oh, you're going the other way. Okay. Awesome. Thank you. So, the first one we look at there is Chag. You're going to read this morning. That's it. Go on. Let's go. What's that? Listen, I'm going to have a bit of fun here. Okay. Chag. So you're going to use the back of your throat. Chag. Chag Shavuot. Chag Shavuot. And that is the Feast of?
Weeks.
Now, you know what the Feast of Weeks is, remember? So the last festival we had was what? Before Pentecost. What was the last festival we had? Can we remember? I know. I was going to remind them with an Easter egg. Remember? You had Easter, remember? For us, it's Passover, right? And so, why the Feast of Weeks? Why the Feast of Weeks? Because it's seven times seven. You've got to count. It's the counting, okay? So seven times seven is... Yeah, my math is shocking. 49. And then you get to Chag Shavuot, okay, to Pentecost. Pentecost, you know what it means. Okay, so it's the Feast of Weeks. It's also known as... What's the next one? No, not English.
Oh.
You see, you didn't want to read the Hebrew. Thank you. Chag, together... Habikarim. Awesome. So, and that is the? Ooh, I love that. Don't you? The day of the first fruits. I wonder if you could think about something there. The first fruits. First fruits. First fruits. So we had Passover, right? We had Passover. And of course, the gospel message is Jesus died for our sins, right?
Yep.
Jesus was buried in the tomb, and Jesus rose again from the dead. Jesus is the? Oh, it's Jesus is the our first fruit. And I tell you, he's taking many with him. There's a myriad. You know, when Hebrews says a cloud of witnesses, when you look at a cloud, there's no gaps in that cloud. It is packed. We are going to be shocked one day to see just what God has done in terms of our faith in his Messiah. I love the first fruits. No, what's the next one? You see, you're doing it. I like that. Chag what? Yeah, yeah, look at that. You guys are reading Hebrew now. Chag HaKetzir. Okay, and that is the? What? The harvest feast. I mean, you guys live here in Ballarat. And I'm sure you see some of harvest time, right? Sometimes. I mean, you would know it better than me in the Holy Land of St. Kilda. So, you know, all I see is concrete buildings around me. But you would see from time to time, you know, harvest, right? I was talking to my sister there just earlier on, and she, you know, we were talking about gardens, and it's lovely to see harvest, right? And of course, if you look at Exodus chapter 23, verse 16, it marks the beginning of the wheat and wheat harvest and the barley harvest, the wheat and the barley harvest. It's such a wonderful time. What is the next one? I love it. Zaman, Matan, Toratenu. Yeah, look at that. It's coming now. So what is that one? Ooh. Wow. When did that happen? I'm going to have you guys think about this morning. You're not getting up lightly, let me tell you now. When did that happen? When was the giving of the law? Think about it. You know already. You know it. So it was through that guy that took the Israelites out of Egypt. What was his name again? Sorry? No, the guy that took people out of Israel, out of Egypt? Moses. And then after he took them out of Egypt, they came into the wilderness, right? And what happened there? He went up to where? Ah, yeah, that's it. What happened there? Gave him the law. We know it better as instruction. Zaman, Matan, Toratenu, the giving of our Torah. What is in your hands? The Word of God. I must not go off track here. There's more, is there? Gee, there's a lot here. This. Okay, what's the next one? Okay, and that is the Greek word for? Greek word for? I know that you speak Greek, come on. The Greek word for 5? Oh, 50. 50, right? 50. And the next one is? Harvest, of course, we know that now, wheat and barley and stuff like that. I'd love you to put yourself into the land of Israel. Who's been to Israel here? No one? You've been. When are you going to encourage everybody else to go? I'm taking a group to Israel in early 2024, in January 2024. There's a school, a Christian school here in Melbourne, who has asked, the teachers have asked to that we take them to Israel. And we're going to call we've called the tour Covenant and Grace. And it's going to happen from the 10th of January 2024 to the 23rd of January 2024. When you're in Israel, you know, the Word of God really just then it starts to become real in so many ways because you've read it already. But sometimes we forget, right? Of course, we all forget. And it's great, good to be reminded of this when you know, the harvest time is such a beautiful time in Israel. What is the next one, friends? Yes, yeah, we did discuss that one, the festival of first fruits. And the next one? Yes, yes. And the next one? That's really interesting, that. The day of assembly. See, again, I need you to put yourself into olden times, you know, a few thousand years ago. The Israelites were commanded by the Lord to come up to Jerusalem 3 times a year. Okay? And that was, of course, Passover that we discussed. This was the next one, Shavuot. And the third one was Yom Kippur. That they come up to the temple and sacrifice before the Lord. Very important. So day of assembly, where people came together. And then the last one is? And now we've already discovered Torah, law, Moses, instruction, and so forth. Okay. Now, on this festival of Pentecost, of Shavuot, can we say it together? Shavuot? Okay, good. See, that's cool. Now, you guys, listen, I'm telling you, when I leave, you're going to be speaking Hebrew, and if I do come back, you'll be teaching me. On this festival, in temple times, 2 loaves of bread. I, of course, you know, you all remember word for word the first verses that we read, right? Yes, that's great. In that, we read about 2 loaves of bread called the Shatei Halachem. I won't ask you to say that, but it's okay. Shatei Halachem, waved before the Lord. And we see this is commanded in Leviticus. Yes, that's good. Thank you, co-pilot. You're doing good. Way before the Lord in Leviticus 23 that we read 17 to 20. Now, these had to be offered from the finest wheat, from the produce that was grown in Eretz Israel. Now, I often think about that. What was the land back then? I wonder, you know, was it similar? I think it was. You know, if you think about the land of Israel, and you would probably know better than anybody else, it's quite a lot like Australia. Australia has got, you know, fertile regions around the coast, right? But then inside, it's like just desert, right? And it's pretty much like Israel. Israel is 60% desert and only 40% fertile. So, and then you can fit Israel into Tasmania 2.5 times. So it gives you a bigger picture now of what I'm trying to say to you. It's very interesting to note that these 2 loaves of bread made with leaven, right? Since leaven is a symbol of sin in the Bible, these loaves could not represent God or the Messiah. So it didn't represent God, didn't represent the Messiah, who are sinless. So what do these 2 loaves represent? I suggest that these 2 loaves of bread were prophetic. These loaves spoke of a mystery that was still to come. The mystery of the body of believers in the Messiah of Israel, who would be made up of redeemed, sinful human beings, Hence, the leaven nature of the bread. There were two loaves to represent Jews and Gentiles. Both are equal status before God. One's not higher than the other. Both have been redeemed and made one in the body of Messiah. And of course, my co-pilot is right onto it. We are going to now read Ephesians 2, verses 14 to 17. Please. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. I love that picture too. Yeah. I don't know, you know, if you can. When I read words, I see pictures. I don't know. That's just me. Maybe it's, you know, I'm just peculiar. But that's, I love that picture too. Here we see how Gentiles are heirs together. Together, okay, with Israel in the promises of God. Here we see how the church are partakers. The church is, you're a partaker together with Israel. That's just beautiful. Now, I put emphasis on the word together and partakers because you are not overtakers. You are not overtakers together as Jews and the nations, literally, because that's what Gentiles means, means the nations. We share in the promises of God that are in Messiah Jesus. That's very powerful. These loaves were weighed before the Lord as a pleasing offering before Him. Two loaves, right? Can you imagine the high priest doing that? Waving two loaves of bread. And indeed, that is what we are, right? When we live in unity and fellowship with one another, honoring God in everything we do, all the people living in villages in ancient Israel would first assemble in the large town of the district. You can imagine the region of Galilee. So the main town there would be Galilee, right? And all other little shtetls all around would come to the town of Galilee. I don't know, can you still remember Galilee? A little bit? It's a beautiful region, very a lot of agriculture around there. And they would gather at the main town, and then from there they would go up. So they would go up to Jerusalem, to the temple. That's really beautiful there. And they would bring with them the ripe fruits, the best of the harvest, the best of your harvest, the very best. And they would be singing psalms, and they would be welcomed by the Levites who were singing portions from the psalms as we read here this morning, which I love. It's amazing because, you know, there's always a response from God's word that is required. So we did really well this morning to do that, to respond. His mercy endures always. Now, in synagogue today, Because, you know, this I'm talking, of course, a lot in olden days, but in synagogue today, so it is customary to read from the book of Ruth at Shavuot. When last have you read the book of Ruth?
Last week. Usually the church have read it over 4 Sundays.
Awesome.
And the last Sunday was the last week we read chapter 4.
Elise, you up to, you right there, you're already there. You're already there. That is good. That is good. Don't you love the book of Ruth?
Yeah. Yes.
It's a beautiful book. Yes. I mean, you know, again, just incredible pictures, you know, come to me when I read the book. Very strong, very powerful message there. And the rabbis give several reasons for reading the book of Ruth at Pentecost, at Shavuot. Right. Before I get there, I can't go too much off track. I've just got to keep myself in check here. To give you some good news from the family, my son got engaged a couple of weeks ago, literally on Shavuot. And, you know, we had friends and family come together in one place. And, of course, the rabbi came because it's going to be done in, you know, Orthodox Jewish way. And so Samuel, my son, he's now engaged. Gee, that's quite, you know, it's amazing for me. And I'm very happy, very happy. Very happy he's found a beautiful lady who is his fiance. And, you know, they have already set a date for their wedding at the end of the year in November, the first week of November. But the rabbi, he gave a little word there. A little word at the at our little celebration that we were together, and I'll tell you what it was now. But let me first of all get to back to the story here. Okay, why are we reading the book of Ruth at Pentecost, at Shavuot? Firstly, the story of Ruth took place during harvest times, right? Can you remember that? Secondly, Ruth was an ancestor of which king? You've read it, no? I'm requiring an answer. Oh, you guys know more than I thought. Well, then why should I be here this morning? Of King David, and of course, traditionally, we recognize that he had died on Shavuot. Thirdly, the book of Ruth records her conversion to Judaism. So it is an appropriate reading for the festival which commemorates the giving of the Torah, the law. Fourthly, Ruth's loyalty is symbolic of Israel's loyalty to the law. You only have to go and visit Israel today to recognize that. Most of my people reject Jesus as the Messiah. We still strongly follow Torah, strongly follow law, strongly follow instruction. And that is a miracle in and of itself. And then fifthly, it is also customary to adorn the synagogue, this is where I'm coming to now, with plants and flowers and trees on Shavuot, because as tradition has it, right, tradition, Sinai was a green mountain, and Shavuot is judgment day for trees. Whether they will be fruitful or not. Now, some rabbis disapproved of this custom because it is similar to a certain church festival and that we know as Christmas, when we have, you know, our Christmas tree with all the lights on it. But I'm coming to that point there because when the rabbi was with us a couple of weeks ago, Please pray for Rabbi Daniel, if you remember him, Daniel Rabin. He mentioned an interesting thing. Sinai. What was Sinai? Was it the Garden of Eden? Was it green all around? Was it? No. It was a wasteland. It was a desert, right? There was nothing there. So why are we adorning our synagogues with plants and beautiful, you know, flowers and everything that's green and you know, so forth? Because the rabbis say, and this is what the rabbi said on my son's engagement, he said that when Moses went up onto the mountain, literally everything around became green. Moses went into God's presence. I tell you that there's something in there that really stirs me. When we are in God's presence, everything is perfect. Even though we are imperfect, He makes everything beautiful. I love that, what He said. I really love that. And because going up into the presence of God, being in the presence of God is such, so there's nothing, there's no money on earth that can buy that. There's nothing that can compare with it. Anyhow, whichever rabbi said that Sinai was green, from some of our perspective, would obviously, he had never visited Sinai for himself, because of course we know it as a desert. But I like that other understanding, and that is that when we go up into the presence of God, it is beautiful beyond description. It is also customary in some communities to eat dairy products. Who loves dairy products here? I know that you don't love cheesecake, so I'm speaking to the wrong person.
Whatever.
You see? Who loves cheesecake? Oh, you do? All right. Oh, well. Well, let me tell you. At Shavuot, we eat kreplach. And you thought I came from, what was that planet? Ah, Itzkibibel. I came from that planet, right? I mean, kreplach, it sounds something like Star Wars, right? Kreplach. If you've never eaten kreplach, you've never had food in all of your life. Okay? Kreplach is Jewish ravioli. Okay? Unlike, you know, the other version of ravioli, Jewish ravioli has three corners. Three corners, I tell you. And, of course, the rabbis had very good reasons for eating three-corner Jewish ravioli. Let me tell you what it is. Firstly, it is because of the Hebrew scriptures. The Tanakh has three parts. That's the Old Testament that you know. So the three parts are the law, Torah, which we've been talking about. The next one is the Nevi'im, which is the prophets. And then the third is the Ketuvim, which are the writings. Now the second reason we eat kreplach. Let's all say kreplach together, please. Say it again. You know, you guys have got to come from the same planet that I'm on, please. Is because Jews, since temple times, are divided into three parts. So if you had to go and visit the temple, you know, thousands of years ago, you would have seen the Kohanim, that is the priests. You would have seen the Levitim, which are the Levites. And you would have then seen the Masses, the Israelites. Those are the three parts. The third reason they say we must eat kreplach is because the law was given in the third month. And finally, we eat kreplach because Moses was the third child of his parents. And so we Jews must find a reason for everything that we do, and that's why we make good lawyers. Oy. I have already one lawyer in my family. Now, let's look at the messianic fulfillment of the feast of Pentecost, Shavuot, as you know it. We're not looking at the Greek anymore. Now we are fully Hebrew. Shavuot was fulfilled by the birth of the church. Ah, thank you, co-pilot. You're doing good. We are now going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, at the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Hang on. Can we just go back a minute? There we go. Yes?
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came down from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak.
Keep it there, co-pilot. Thank you. It was on the day of Pentecost when the church was born. Through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we know that this occasion marks the birth of the church because of Jesus' words to his disciples. While he was still with them in Jerusalem, he commanded them, thank you, co-pilot. Let's read 1, 2, 3. Thank you. On the day of Pentecost, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the believers in such a way that had never occurred before in the history of Israel. Never. Abraham believed God, he walked with God, and was accounted to him as righteousness. And we see so many of the other faithful in the Old Testament. But this had never occurred before. The church had begun. Now the minor portion, the minor portion that is read in synagogue for the day, first day of Shavuot is Ezekiel 1, chapter 1, verses 1 to 28. I'm not going to read it now. And also Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 12. Maybe you can read it later in your own time. And you can imagine thousands of Jewish worshippers leaving the temple after the morning worship, having just read the passage from Ezekiel chapter 1. They may not have seen the fire, but they heard the noise that was like the sound of rushing wind, a roaring noise. No wonder they were so amazed and perplexed. It got their attention. On that day, when Peter preached an anointed sermon to Jewish people from all over the diaspora. The diaspora was literally all the different parts of the world. They came because you had to come up. You had to make Aliyah to Jerusalem. It was commanded 3 times a year. 3,000 Jewish people came to faith in the Messiah. Wow. Man, if the world had never been shaken, then it was. Bang. On the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all flesh, 3,000 Jewish people were born again. Now, if it is true that the Feast of Pentecost is the anniversary of the giving of the law, Remember what we spoke about earlier? Mount Sinai, Moses and all that. Then we see such a contrast to these two occasions. For the first, on the day that the law was given to Moses on Sinai, 3,000 Jewish people died because of the golden calf rebellion. Yet on the day that the Spirit was given, 3,000 Jewish people were born again. Isn't this what Paul said when he meant, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6, he says, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The glory of God was present at the giving of the law. Totally. When Moses came down, they couldn't look upon him because he had the glory of God upon him. He was so bright. The presence of God was right there. Nobody could not see it. Everybody saw it. And the same glory was manifested at the giving of the Holy Spirit on that day of Shavuot almost 3,000 years ago. You can't imagine this. Oh, man. It was on the Shavuot that the early believers were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist, have we got that one, co-pilot? Matthew. Ooh. No. We want. Yes, thank you, Lord. Matthew. We want Matthew. Thank you. There we go. 1, 2, 3. Why do we need to be baptized? Thank you, Lord. In the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we as human beings are unable to live up to the standards that are set in, you know it as the law. I know it as instruction. We are unable to do it. There are 613 laws in the Torah, in the first five books of your Bible. 613. Maybe you know the 10, which is great. But that's not the main body. The main body is the 613. Who can keep them all? Who can keep them all? Nobody. Not one of us. Certainly, you can see the history of Israel. We couldn't keep it. Does that mean the law is inadequate? Does it mean that the law is not sufficient? It can't do its job? No. It means that we, as human beings, are inadequate. While Moses was still on the mountain receiving the law, the children of Israel were engaged in idolatry, drunkenness, and sexual immorality. They thought Moses was taking his time in coming down the mountain. So they made for themselves another god. Even after the law was read to them, they all shouted, "We will do all that the law tells us to do." They still completely disobeyed the law. The interesting thing is this, that their disobedience was no surprise to God. We see in the book of Deuteronomy that God gave Moses a song to write that will be a witness against Israel when they disobey his law in the future. You see, God knew that his people would not be able to keep the law, to keep the instruction, and to keep his covenant. He knew that it was not in man to be holy, righteous, and God-fearing. So what is the answer for us? The answer is given to us by Jeremiah the prophet, who said that God would write his laws on our hearts if we believed in him. Thank you, co-pilot. There it goes again. Let's read count three. One, two, three. This is a beautiful place and a very sad place in Israel that I'm always reminded about when I think of this. Before you get to the main building, you go under arches. It's quite wide because buses drive through it and it's quite wide. And on the lintel, there's something written that we know very well and speaks about the valley of the dry bones. When you go through the archway, you come into the Holocaust Museum, which is a very, very sad place to go to in Israel. But when I ride through there, when I see that scripture of the valley of the dry bones and what God promised. He promised that those bones would come together, they would have flesh on them. But the one thing they didn't have was his breath. It was his ruach, his Holy Spirit. That is what we are longing for now in Israel, that my people will see who Jesus is. And that the very breath of God would spread across the nation. The answer is that God will give man the ability to obey him. We can't do it in our own flesh. It's too hard. It's not possible. But it's God that's going to give us the ability. God will put his spirit in man so that he may be able to follow him and to be obedient to his laws, his instructions. Something he was unable to do in his own strength. This is the very gospel of the Messiah. The new covenant that Jesus ushered in for those who would believe in him. And the same ruach, the same breath of God that was upon those early believers in the book of Acts at the birth of the church is with us here today. Is with us now. People, you have been very patient. Your Hebrew is astounding. I think you can now carry on. we can have services now in Hebrew. That's going to be our first language, right? Okay, maybe not. But would you allow me to pray with you, and then I'll hand over to Elise. Father, you are so gracious. You are so merciful, Lord, in every way. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God who loves us. In every way, despite what we are, despite the failings that we have, you still love us, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us that breath to live within us, which is your spirit, Lord. Lord, in these days that we live, which seems to be getting darker and darker, Lord, would you let that the ruach fill more spaces, Lord God? Let your light shine in us, Lord. Here in Ballarat, Lord, and beyond, Lord, there are so many people who have so much need. And God, you have given us this wonderful gift, Lord, for the purpose of others. I thank you for that this morning. I thank you for my family here, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us everything we need to follow after you. There's nothing we lack, Lord. I pray your blessing upon each one of us here this morning, Lord, and also the people that haven't been able to come due to sickness and various other reasons. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'yikunecha yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yisem lecha shalom. V'shem Yeshua Mashiachinu, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you, Haddon Church of Christ. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace, we pray in the name of Jesus, our Messiah. Amen. Thank you. Shalom.